Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Well, I'd just love to say that was me before my skating incident. I had to give all that up, but unfortunately, it's not me. And how amazing some of these feats that these guys get up to. I don't know about you guys, but when I see those, especially the guy that went through the rocky outcrop at that full pelt, one twist and turn in the wrong direction, splat. I know, I just see that and I go, my goodness, you are absolutely crazy, nuts, or you're just adrenaline junkies. They just love to be in the face of danger. And that's what we're talking about tonight, facing danger. And for some of us, that danger, like these guys that we've just seen, what danger? You know, I just live accepting this, jumping off buildings, jumping off from one rooftop, sliding down the other, and landing on a spiral staircase, hopefully not between the legs, but, you know, just straight on. In the midst of danger, these guys just jump at the chance and they just love it. They just thrive on it. And that was me a couple of weeks ago. That was me, right, on the skateboard. But I didn't come off like those guys did, you know, very awesome. But actually, I came off to the emergency department and to get a couple of patches done. But we all take danger differently, right? We take the word danger, dangerous, right? We have different understandings of it. For some of us, even jumping off this stage is dangerous, right? You see a little toddler coming to the edge, and especially if it's your firstborn, you'll be like, right? You'll be going, oh, no, don't jump. Don't come close. Go back, go back, right? If it's your third or the fourth one, it's like, whatever. You know, I know that parents will concur. I have four. It's like when we had Jonathan, it's like, is it Rebecca? It's like, look after her, look after it, right? Wherever you go, you're like her shadow. And then when Jonathan comes, it's like he's sleeping. Ooh, there he goes, on the bed. And he'll continue speaking, right? So we have different understandings of danger. And we have this meaning of danger. It can... Firstly, we can receive danger or a danger situation, but we also can be the source of danger as well. And danger means possibility of suffering harm or injury. And it also has the synonyms of having a menace, some sort of hazard, a threat, a risk, peril, insecurity, uncertainty, instability, and there can be sources of apprehension, sources of dread, fright, fear, and terror, absolute terror. I don't know about those wingsuits, but I reckon they should come with a bladder bottle down the bottom. You know, as you're going through, I know what I'll be doing. It'll be very, very scary. So there are different meanings and different understandings of danger and different levels of danger. But we all face danger in our lives. Today we face danger, right? If we go by that, any sort of fear, apprehension, something that makes us uncomfortable, we don't want to be in that situation, but we find ourselves in that situation because it's life. Life puts us in that situation. And Jesus said in John 16, this is the Message version of it, translation, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace in this godless world, you will come to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. Our Lord says, you will have difficulties. In your life, you will have difficulties. You will need to face danger. Whether you like it or not, you're going to find yourself in that situation. And so this evening, I just want to share with you one person in the Bible who was facing danger. Maybe he faced danger and he was delivered from that danger, dangerous situation, and how he responded. And maybe we can take a lesson from what he did, how he responded from this passage. So it's a well-known passage. It's very well quoted. Everyone should know it off by heart. Sorry, I don't. It's Psalm 23. So let's have a look at the screen. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, some translation, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. What a beautiful psalm. Beautiful psalm which celebrates the gracious care of our God in troubled times. And when we read this psalm with John chapter 10, we see Jesus as our good shepherd, one depicted here in Psalm 23. But I'll speak more about this later. But let's have a look at this. That David, the author of this psalm, was facing, like I said, was facing or had experienced some sort of difficult situation and was delivered from a dangerous situation when he wrote this psalm. Long story short, Saul is anointed as the first earthly king of Israel. Then Saul is rejected, lost favor as king with God, and David is chosen as his successor. And after Saul finds out that David has been chosen to be the next king of Israel, he resents David. And the remainder of Saul's career as king, he is played out in a dangerous tango with David as the troubled king first tries to kill David and then he tries to capture him. So David might have been in the middle of this, or he might have been at the end of this situation. Delivered from the pursuit of King Saul when he wrote this psalm. So what lesson can we learn from this psalm when we are facing danger? When we face insecurity, uncertainty, instability, or fear in our lives today? Well, we need to prepare to face danger. Jesus said there will be trouble, there will be tribulation, there will be danger in your lives. So we need to prepare. You might say, well, that's pretty ridiculous. There's all sorts of danger all over the place. You've lost it, Michael, right? How can you prepare for danger? What, you just go out and jump off buildings and do and partake in parkour like that? What do you do? Well, let me give you this example of, on January 15, 2009, the world witnessed Miracle on the Hudson. And most of you, or some of you might know, recently there was a movie made titled Sully, right? That was the name of the pilot. So, for those who know, bear with me as I tell this story. Captain, they call him Sully, but Chelsea Sullenberger III, what a name, Chelsea Sullenberger III, that name should be in the papers anyway, was actually, he glided his disabled plane onto the Hudson River, saving 155 people on board. No one was injured, only the plane was ended up in the Hudson. In this incident, as they took off from LaGuardia Airport, a flock of wild Canadian geese ran in the path of the plane and they ended up in the engine, causing the engine to fail and losing both power in the engine. And so Captain Salier, what he did was he glided that plane safely onto the Hudson, rather than ditching it into the Hudson or crashing it into the Hudson or trying to make his way back to La Guayra, or there was another airport in New Jersey. He didn't do that, but he glided the plane into the Hudson. And the last thing that it is heard on the communications and recorded of Captain Sully is a calm but a direct voice saying, "We're going into the Hudson." Doesn't sound like somebody who is actually facing danger, someone who might be actually facing death with the responsibility of 155 on board. But with the support of his crew and co-pilot, he safely lands the plane on the Hudson River, and the time between the loss of engines and the landing of the plane was 208 seconds, just under 4 minutes. But within 2 minutes, Sully, through switches, pressed buttons, turned the plane around and glided it into the Hudson. How was Sully able to do that? How was he able to be calm and collected in that situation, knowing there was no way that he could get the engines going, no way to take flight, but actually to crash or glide or land it into a river? Well, some people said it was a miracle. And sometimes God do perform miracles. And I'm not denying that this was a miracle or it wasn't. God works in many, many different ways. But I think we tend to seek or see God as someone who comes in times of trouble. We call him in and he comes in and he does his thing and does what he needs to do to resolve the situation. And sometimes I believe that we have become complacent to see God in that way and how God actually works in our world today. Because if Sully was flying the plane for the first time, because if he was in the cockpit for the first time, yeah, we can say that was a miracle. But in reality, Sully has been flying for 30 years. He has 30 years' experience, not only flying, but teaching people to fly. And he also glides the glider. And he teaches people how to glide in his pastime. So he spent many years, days, hours in simulation, practicing, preparing for a situation like this. So when it actually happened, he actually knew what to do. Can you imagine if Sully was there going, "Okay, co-pilot, we've just hit some wild geese, and I can smell roasted geese coming into the cabin. All right, we've got no power in the engines. Keep calm. Let's go to the manual." So we find what to do when you smell roasted geese in the cockpit. "Oh, call the control tower and ask for their help." Call the control tower, ask for their help. No, he didn't do that, did he? There's some reports, it's not concrete, but he had to perform some pedal movements and whatever, flicking switches, pulling levers and everything, some over 250 odd. It's different on which news report you read, okay? Some is as many as 2,000. But we know that he had to do everything perfectly in that situation for him to be able to glide that plane safely on the Hudson. He had to make decisions, and it had to come naturally. He couldn't say, "Sorry, Ed, I want to call a friend." It's not going to happen. And sometimes when we face danger, you're not going to have the time to hang on, danger, I just want to call a friend. It comes and hits us. And we have to prepare so that we instinctively, naturally, it just comes out of our whole being to respond to the situation like Sally did. In the ancient world, they talked about virtue. And when we talk about virtue today, we come to have that notion of, well, virtue is just being good. You obey the rules, right? That's being good. But in the ancient times, it had a different meaning. It actually had the meaning of working hard towards second nature. You work diligently, you work hard for a second nature. And Archbishop of Canterbury, in one of his sermons, said regarding virtue of courage, he said this, courage is not like as if you take a stiff drink, I'm not going to have an English accent because Mike will kill me if I did, and wielding a sword or some sort of weapon overhead, charging, chanting a war cry to face the enemy. That is not courage. There will be some adrenaline, there will be some fear, and there will be some alcohol all mixed in, which you would think was courage. But courage is what happens when someone takes the deliberate decision to put someone else's safety ahead of their own. And then take that decision again tomorrow, and the next week, and the next month, and the next year, over and over again. Does it as a routine so that it becomes a habit of the heart, that it becomes naturally. And that's how he explained virtue of courage. So if you're in the battlefield, this message was actually given to a whole army platoon. And he gave the example of if you're in battle and you see a grenade, courage comes out naturally where you walk up to the courage, grab the grenade, throw it back, or in the process be blown up or whatever, but that is courage. It comes out naturally. You don't think about, oh, should I pick up that grenade or not? Or maybe he can get it. No. It comes out naturally. And God loves to work in and through you, me, as human beings, to develop this character. The extreme people that we saw in the video, it just didn't happen. They didn't just wake up one morning and go, hey, I'm going to pick up parkour today. I'm just going to jump off this roof, land on that, land on the spiral crash. No. There would have been days, maybe a few broken bones, a few cuts, a few bruises. And you keep going. You keep going. Practice after practice until it comes naturally. Second nature. I still can't get over that guy going through the rocky outcrop. There's no way I'll be doing that. Because even a little twitch, you're gone. I mean, I have faith in God, but that's another story, that one. But they would have been practicing for days, for hours, experimenting and building up their body so that they can do that. So you see the magnificent specimen you see before, right? There's no way I can do that. But there are places now in Perth, if you want to pick up parkour, that you can go and train and you develop your body to be able to participate or partake in parkour and do all those amazing things that they can do. And that's what we need to do. We need to prepare ourselves, train, and develop ourselves. So when we are facing danger, when danger actually comes and hit us, we'll be able to instinctively, naturally have a response to that danger that we are facing. So let's have a look at what it is that we need to prepare and how we need to practice to develop. In Psalm 23, David talks of the shepherd. He talks about the shepherd, that he is with us in face of danger. And who better to learn and understand about a shepherd than from a shepherd? So David was a shepherd, and he spent years, days looking after his father's flock, right? And he would have had his rod, his staff, to look after the sheep, protect the sheep from wild animals, take care of the sheep, take them to the green pastures, fatten them up, looking after them, caring for them. And if they were injured, and as they did, right, little lambs butt heads, and they'll play, and they'll have a little crack head like me, and then what would happen is they'll put some oil, an ointment, to heal those wounds. And David, out of his experience, out of the years of being with the sheep, he understands the Good Shepherd. So his confidence comes out in this troublesome time for him, as he's comforted by Yahweh and his rod and his staff. The rod, usually with a metal tip, was used to protect and fend off the wild animals, and the staff for guiding, leading the sheep, but also the shepherd was using to rest, leaning against in the long day, resting upon. And it's very symbolic of these metaphorically to come and to give us this understanding where David is coming from, where he says about the Good Shepherd. So David is comforted as he faces danger because he is not alone. He has the protection and guidance and leading of God in these troublesome times. And the guys that actually do those amazing stuff, they're never alone. They always have support. They always have someone with them in those times when they do go out. And even I enjoy going scuba diving and skin diving. And when I do, you are always told to go with a buddy, never to go alone. But recently I did go alone. I went to Mila Beach. I did go for a snorkel. And my aim and purpose wasn't to enjoy the scenery. It was actually to go and catch an octopus. My goodness. As I was swimming out, it was fine. As you do, you pray, Lord, provide an oki for me. And there it was. As soon as I went in, there was one. So I got my gigi, got it, put it in the catch bag, swim along. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see something dark moving across. Turn around, and then there's this massive stingray, black. And he's just eyeing you. He's just seeing, you know, he's got the eyes on the side. He's just eyeing you. He's going, what's that guy doing? If I wasn't a Christian man, I would have swore like. But my goodness, you can yell underwater, believe it or not. Believe it or not. And it was so lucky that I was actually in water already. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. But it was scary. From then onwards, there wasn't joy and enjoyment of God's creation, right? It was always looking around to see if there was anything else or if he'd turn back and actually come and follow me. It was scary. And then as I was going back, it was always on the back of my mind, there could be something out there bigger, right? So I'm going, I better get back. And by this time, I had swum around the bend. If you've ever been to Meelup, there's the rocky outcrop around the bend, a bit further on, and I couldn't quite see the beach. So I had swum quite a far out, and I was coming back. And I actually caught another oki, and I was flapping around underwater, trying to duck dive and get this oki. And I'm thinking, while I'm doing this and drinking a lot of salt water, I'm going, my goodness, sharks love flapping. Sharks love struggling. And every time I come up out of the water, it's like, quick look, take a deep breath, go down. Anyway, we had a good feed that night, and I'm here. But what I realized then in that situation was that I was alone. And if something did happen out there, I was in trouble. Even if I was tiring because I was less oxygen or too much oxygen, I was tired, I was buggered, and I was really showing my age. And as I was going in, and I, you know, I had the catch, and it's like God did provide. And I'm going through it. I was happy, joyous, but at the same time, always fearful of what might pop out from the depth or behind me, because I had no one there. I normally go with a friend, and he we go in, and then soon as we see fish, he'll go that way, I'll go that way. It doesn't matter. We were supposed to stay together, but it doesn't happen that way when you're in the water. But you have comfort in knowing there's another person in the water there, and if a shark did come, you got 50-50, right? But this time, trust me, there was no 50-50. It was 100% you are it. And it was scary. But David, let's get back to David. But David shows us that when we face danger, when we face this tribulation, when we face these insecurities or uncertainty, that we are never alone. We have the Good Shepherd. We have Jesus now. We have our Lord. And the thing that we need to practice is this. First and foremost, we need to acknowledge and know that God is the shepherd. The shepherd is metaphorically used as king or a leader in ancient times. We need to acknowledge when we are facing danger or as we prepare to face danger, that God is king. That he is sovereign, that he is king, he is the leader, not me. In the dangerous situation, it's not me. When I'm facing danger, I am not king. But how often do I want to be king in that situation? I want to resolve the situation. Oh, I've got my thinking, I've got my ideas, I've got ways of doing, resolving this or preparing for this. No, God is the shepherd. He is the king. And in those times when we face danger, he is the provider. David says, I shall not want, because God provides. He is the provider of everything that we need in that situation, whatever danger that we face. Thirdly, God is peace. He gives us peace in that situation. As Jesus came to his disciples after Jesus had been crucified, buried, and rose, he came and he said, Shalom, peace be with you. Because he knew their hearts. He knew they were in fear. Whenever we face danger, whenever we see fear or insecurity, know that. Give your heart to God and he will give you the peace in that situation. I'm not saying he'll take that situation away, wave his magic hands. No. But he will give you peace in that situation. And as we go on, we see David in the first three verses talking of the shepherd, very distant. He talks or speaks of God. He is my shepherd, he. And then in verse 4, David starts to speak to him. There's a distinct change in the way David addresses God now. Not a distant God, he's not a far away God. He's an intimate relational God, and he starts to say you, and he speaks to him. So what happens in that situation when you give yourself in that situation when you're facing danger to God as king, God as the provider, and when you have peace? My view and understanding is that you get to see the sovereignty of God, and the situation, you are able to release it into God's hands rather than you trying to manage that situation. And as we accept, that peace in that situation, we know that the Lord is righteous. Whatever the outcome, he is just. Whatever danger, whatever situation, whatever uncomfortableness that we may face, God is going to bring about a just resolution, a solution. And in those situations, our Lord is our banner. He is our strength. His rod and staff will comfort. We know that Jesus overcame the world. And we know that he will help us to overcome this situation. Sixth, he is our healer in this situation. God anoints my head with oil, as I've spoken about, lamb being anointed with oil for healing. God is our healer in the situation. Whatever it is, we might have suffered, we might have been inflicted with pain, suffering. Someone might have done harm, whether it be physical, mental, spiritual, emotionally. Our Lord heals us in that situation. And lastly, the Lord never leaves us. He is always there. He is present with us wherever, whenever. And it is in the deepest, darkest valley of our life, when we are in so much need for our Father, that he meets us there. Not up on the valleys when sun is shining. He meets us in the valley. He meets us in the midst of our struggles when we face danger. And this is the support that our Jesus, our Lord, provides in when we face danger. And I believe that we need to prepare and know whenever these situations come, we need to acknowledge that God is sovereign. He has the situation in hand, not I, not any one of us really, that he has control. Let me just recap. We need to prepare to face danger so that we can respond to any and every situation naturally without missing a beat. Knowing that God is the king and leader, we face danger. When we face danger, that he will provide for us, that he will bring peace in the situation to help us see clearly. And having the support that our Lord is just, that he is our strength in these times. Not only that, but whatever we have suffered, he will heal us of it and of our wounds. And then he'll be with us always. Every time we face danger, trouble, or tribulation, in the deepest, darkest valleys, He is there.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.